You are listening to the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast. Your host is Elder Ron, the Drunk Mormon Missionary. Every week he gets drunk and brings you the Drunk Mormon Gospel. His word is the drunken word of God. So sit back, pour yourself a drink and enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of the Drunk Mormon Missionary with your host, Elder Ron. And my investigator roommate.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Investigator Eric.
Yeah, you can say shit.
I know.
It's part of your podcast now, too.
I know.
So you're, like, allowed to talk.
I'm on strike. No,
I'm all right. Well, welcome back. This is episode 11. You've made it this far. We've gotten through all the Mormon missionary lessons and discussions. And now we get into some of the fun stuff, which
thank
is
Jehovah.
Thank Yahweh and Elohim.
Elohim.
Tonight, this podcast is brought to you by letter A. A stands for absinthe. So I'm drinking absinthe tonight. I've graduated from White Russians. We're out of White Russians and that fake, like, coffee rum shit that I was drinking.
Oh, awful.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I have some leftover absinthe from Burning Man. I have, like, at least half a bottle of absinthe, which is... Eric, because I'm drunk.
Yes.
Will you go ahead and explain to our listeners who... Because there may be some ex-Mormon or some newly fresh ex-Mormons out there who aren't really, like, beer is kind of their thing, because it's like, oh, beer. Because we're getting into, like, absinthe is, like...
It's hardcore.
It's kind of, like, it's kind of up there, right, in terms of alcohol?
Yes, and it's made out of poison. A poison called wormwood.
Yeah? Go on. You're the history dude.
I don't know much about absinthe.
I know more about absinthe? Okay.
You know a lot more about it.
Well, it's called the Green Fairy, and it's a beautiful drink. So it has this beautiful, like, black licorice taste. So if you don't like black licorice, you won't like absinthe.
Or if you don't like bitter, you won't like it.
Well, it's not too bitter. It's like black licorice bitter.
It's bitter.
But absinthe was really popular, like, in the turn of the century. So you have, like, Moulin Rouge and all the French impressionists, like Van Gogh, Monet, and some of the other, like, Moulin Rouge people back in the turn of the century. Picasso? No, he was a little bit later. Was he a little bit later in that whole movement of impressionism? He's more abstract.
Yes.
Anyway, so these cats loved absinthe back in the day. It's supposed to be a creative drink. It's like 150 proof?
Nah.
180 proof?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's like it's alcohol. It's like pretty much pure alcohol, so it gets you really fucked up. What? We have another investigator here. It's Investigator Q. Hey, investigator. So what's your question? You're there whispering at me and I can't understand you. All right. You should talk into a mic if you're going to be on the podcast. Yeah, go ask your question over on the mic. Just do it. You can do it. Talk right into the mic. You have to put it right up to your lips. Come on, right up to your lips. Put it right to your lips. Right to your lips.
Did you just say cats are into absinthe?
Those cats were into absinthe.
Those cats?
Not those cats. No, the cats from the French.
Good, because...
From the 1920s who lived in Paris.
Those cats are supposed to be on the wagon right now.
And love to drink.
Talk about that.
No, the cats,
if they start drinking again?
The creative cats back in Paris, back in the early
1900s. Are you saying this cat isn't creative?
That cat, she's pointing to our cat, who is named...
Who is not creative.
The fucking liar cat, FLC is his name. Because he always fucking lies about everything. So he's FLC, the fucking liar cat.
He does.
That's why he's on his last chance about the drinking.
Well, we should talk more about the absinthe. So it's a beautiful, like, I love it because, like, there's this whole, like, what do you call it? Like, tradition and ritual to actually making it, where you get a spoon and it's got slots in it. You put a little absinthe in the glass and you put a sugar cube on top of the spoon. You put a little absinthe on the sugar cube.
And then cold water.
And then you light the sugar cube and it does a flame. And then you slowly pour cold water over the sugar cube and over the spoon into the absinthe. And then it turns from a clear green into this really beautiful milky white green. And it's called Releasing the Fairy. And all these people would drink absinthe because it was supposed to be, well, the wormwood is supposed to be hallucinogenic.
Right.
Right?
So it's got that aspect to it as well.
It's supposed to. I'm not really hallucinating. I'm drinking one pint of it already. I'm working on my second pint.
So. There's a very strong limit to how much wormwood modern absinthe can have in it. So you probably won't get the hallucinogenic properties because you're...
I've learned you have to drink it slow, and I'm not really drinking slow, so we're going for the drunk rather than the hallucination tonight, basically. All right, well, there's your history on absinthe. It has nothing to do with Mormonism.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing to do with Mormonism whatsoever.
I mean, I think absinthe might be doubly prohibited by the church.
It was prohibited in the United States too. Like it was banned in the United States up until like 5 years ago.
Because of the wormwood.
Because of the wormwood. Because it's a poison. So the Mormon church would be against absinthe. Definitely against the worm wisdom on two fronts. Alcohol and drug abuse.
There is a little biblical connection to wormwood too, because it is mentioned in Revelations.
All right. Explain.
I don't know anymore.
Unpack
about it
that, Eric.
I don't know anymore about it.
I kind of remember that a little bit too. All right. Well, tonight's episode and probably the next few episodes are going to be brought to you by absinthe, because I'm going to be drinking absinthe while I'm doing this. So we got through all the Mormon missionary lessons, thank God, and that was really kind of boring and oppressive and absolutely horrible to do, but we got through it. And you, mighty listeners, brothers and sisters of the Drunk Mormon Missionary Gospel, you have gotten through it too. Hey, I wanna thank the listeners out there. Like we're not like super popular yet, but like we're close to at this point, like close to 600 downloads of our podcast.
Which is awesome.
Like, I have a core. It seems like there's a core group of people out there who have, like, listened to all of them. Most people, for some reason, can't get through episode one, which makes, because, like, we have a shit ton of, like, episode one downloads, right? The first vision. There's something like, I don't know, like, 150 right now download. People have downloaded episode one.
It's so offensive.
And then it starts like tailing off. But it seems like the core people, there's about 30 or 40, I think, core listeners. And the grand scheme of things, you know, you got the kids on fucking YouTube who are like playing video games and jerking off while they're playing Grand Theft Auto or something like that, who get like a million like views on that shit and like that. But I don't know. We're going for a different type of quality of people, I think, in terms of our investigators and our listeners. I don't know what that would mean.
What that quality is.
I don't know what that quality is, but it's definitely a type of quality that we're shooting for on our podcast here. Anyway, congratulations. If you're up to episode 11, you're one of the few. and you you are one of our hardcore fan investigators, and we welcome you. All are welcome, just like it says on the Mormon Church. All are welcome,
and hopefully, all of you are at the point now where you want to get baptized.
Do you want to get baptized yet?
No,
no, kid, I don't either. Don't get baptized. Don't get baptized into my cult here.
Unless it's baptism by absinthe.
All right, baptism by absinthe. Yeah, hey, you know what? They have absinthe too in Utah. Like last time I was in Utah. I went to the state-owned liquor store, and they had absinthe there. So you newly formed ex-Mormons, look up absinthe. Go to your Utah. If you're in Utah, go to the liquor store and buy yourself a bottle. Get the bottle with Van Gogh on it because it's going to have a slotted spoon. And then, like, YouTube how to, like, properly pour yourself a glass of absinthe, and you should enjoy it with us or with me while you're listening to this podcast. That would be awesome. That would fucking make my night that I've converted somebody over to absinthe. Be awesome.
But not with me, because I'm Investigator Eric is strictly a teetotaler.
No, you're, well, no. You don't really drink.
No.
At all. Like,
not anymore.
You drink maybe like a cider here and there.
That's a big night out.
Well, big night out is a cider for Investigator Eric. All right, so let's get back on track. We got to get back on track here. We are going to be starting pretty soon the Book of Mormon stories. I think before we get into the actual Book of Mormon stories, we need to learn about how we got the Book of Mormon. From good old Joseph Smith.
Yes.
So we're going to get back into Angel Moroni, and we're going to kind of rehash a little bit about that. We won't really... Episode 1 has all the shit about Angel Balls and Moroni. Oh, wait, no, that was Episode 2. Episode 1 has all the first vision and Joseph Smith taking shrooms in the forest and seeing God.
Right.
So you should go back to Episode 1 if you want that, get that story. And then Episode 2 goes into the Angel Moroni freeballing over Joseph's bed and doing some teabagging on Joseph Smith while he was sleeping.
And how also Angel Moroni was very much a tease and would like, there's the book.
There's the book. You can't, like 4 years. You can't look at it. You can't touch it. Nope. Nope, the gold plates.
You can look at it.
Nope, 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 nope. Can't touch it. Can't touch it. Nope. Leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it. All right. And then after 4 years, Joseph Smith was finally allowed to take the gold plates home. Angel Moroni, with his angel balls, finally said, all right, dude, you can have them. Yep, take them home, but don't tell anybody or let anybody touch them or feel them or look at them.
Yeah, don't fill up those tablets.
No feeling up the tablets. You take them home and don't tell anybody because they'll want to steal your tablets, your gold tablets. So Joseph Smith took the golden plates home, I think.
Took them somewhere.
He took them someplace. And he translated the golden plates by the use of a thing called a Urim and Thummim. Urim and Thummim, which supposedly are supposed to be like these magic goggles that he had. Now, different accounts say like different things. Like the official versions, he had this breastplate that he had that was in there with the gold plates, and he would wear the breastplate, and he would have these goggles on, and he would translate the gold plates that were supposed to be reformed Egyptian, where the
hieroglyphics.
What did you say that one?
Hieroglyphics.
The hieroglyphics. Griffith, the Griffins.
So are you telling me that Joseph Smith was wearing a breastplate and goggles?
Well,
was he going to Burning Man?
Well, that was like one of them. He had these magic goggles, all right? Other accounts say that like what he had were like these things called seer stones, okay? And a seer stone was basically like a magic rock, and he would put the magic rock in his hat, and he would like look into the hat.
What is about the seer stones and the hat? Why is the hat important to the seer stones? I don't get it.
Well, that's what he would do. Matter of fact,
so
like,
Joseph is a bigger weirdo. Okay.
So
he's got his breastplate and his goggles and his hat with his stones.
He's got his fucking hat with these stones in them, and he's got his face in it like he's gonna puke in it. And then the words would come onto the like seer stone, and God would translate it. So it's kind of like having an iPhone, but it was a rock.
Right.
Matter of fact, there's this funny article, like a real fucking article, from the LDS Church, comparing the seer stone to a fucking iPhone.
Which led to the, like, who was Joseph Smith's provider for cell phone service?
Yeah, no shit. Let me find this article because it's kind of funny.
Utterly ridiculous.
Ugh. All right, I'm looking it up. Here we go. It's President Dieter F. Oh, who is this guy? Erkdorf compares seer cells to cell phones. And on his official Facebook page, President Dieter F. Erkdorf, who, I don't know, he's one of their, I don't even know who this guy is. He's some German dude. Like
former German Air Force pilot.
You know more than me. He's an Air Force pilot?
Yes, he used
you
to
knew
be.
That?
Yeah.
And he's like one of the leaders of the LDS Church, right? Is he apostle or something? What is he? I have no idea. I have to look up who the hell this guy is.
He's at least to the Quorum of 70, like, but he's probably higher than
is
that.
Is he Quorum of 70 or is he an apostle?
I think he's moved up.
Oh, dude, I could check out his net worth, too. You want to know his net worth? He currently serves as the second counselor and the first president. He's part of the first presidency.
Okay, so he's moved way up.
So he's like a fucking apostle.
Right.
And in the Elder's Church right now. And he's in this website. It's on LDSDaily.com. And he's comparing seer stones to cell phones. Which begs to ask the question, what fucking operating system does God use?
Right.
Is he an Apple user or an Android user on the seer stones? And do you have to update that shit?
You have to call tech support?
Tech support.
Right. My seer stone's cloudy.
I don't know. I'm looking at my hat right now, God, and I have no idea what this word is. It's a little pixelated. Like, what's going on? Oh, yeah, there's an outage, like, in Ursa Major right now. So you're going to have to wait for a while until my tech support people can fix that outage.
We're going to have to force an update on the seer stones.
On the seer stones. All right, so Joseph Smith is translating these things into the Book of Mormon with different magic implementations. Let's see. I'm looking through Book of Mormon stories, chapter one, right now. It's like the little kid thing, and it's really funny because the little picture is like of Joseph Smith. He's sitting there with Oliver Cowdery, like at the desk, and he's got the gold plates, and he's that no one was supposed to see.
Except Oliver, I guess.
Except Oliver. And as he's like just looking at them, just translating them, but there's all kinds of like different stories that talk about like different things with the seer stones and shit like that.
Do you think they had conversations like, what does this symbol look like? Well, it looks like a penis.
Like making fun of the... No, because it's all bullshit. There were no fucking gold plates, and there were no, like, someone made this book up.
Oliver Bates.
Stole, actually, what they think is that the Book of Mormon was plagiarized from the Bible, like a lot of the Bible stuff in there, and plagiarized from a fictional book called The View of the Hebrews. And so The View of the Hebrews was a popular religious fiction book of the time of Joseph Smith that talked about the Native Americans being Hebrew and trying to explain like where the Native Americans came from. Because apparently, at the time, they weren't really aware of like the Asian land bridge.
Right.
Right. And definitely didn't have shit like DNA studies to compare Native American DNA to like Northern Asians, which they can do now. So this idea at the time of the 1830s of the Native Americans being like from Israel or being Hebrew in origin really wasn't necessarily unique unto Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon, the Mormons. Like, there were a few people who, I'd have to look that shit up right now, and that just seems like a lot of fucking work to prove my point.
Is it important?
No, because I'm just talking out of my ass right now anyway, for the most part.
Right?
All right. We got to get back to the story because that's what's important.
That's correct.
Because like the important shit is that Joseph Smith like translated these gold plates into English from Reformed Egyptian.
And
I don't know what Reformed Egyptian means.
I don't think it means anything.
It's religious assery.
Right.
Right. But it's called Reformed Egyptian. So it wasn't Hebrew. It was Egyptian, but it was Reformed. It wasn't really Egyptian. It wasn't Hebrew. It still doesn't. Why would like Hebrew people be writing in Egyptian?
Why would Egyptians at that period of time be writing in Egyptian? The hieroglyphic language
like 600. Like 4, so like the Book of Mormon starts like in 600 BC.
Right.
When you're the history. What's going on in 600 BC at the time in Israel? Or you're not really a biblical historian though at all. You're more a modern history major, aren't you?
Right. But I mean, at that point, you've still got Egypt there, and you've got Macedonians and Greeks, but they certainly weren't using hieroglyphics for language. They had like Aramaic and Coptic.
So what you're saying is like my retelling of the story, your bullshit meter's kind of going off really bad. Yes. Right now when I say Reformed Egyptian, right?
Yes.
So if I was like a real Mormon missionary, not the drunk Mormon missionary, but like, and I was talking about Reformed Egyptian, because they would, like, I think like the real Mormon missionary would be talking about like, well, yeah, Reformed Egyptian. Blah, blah, blah. It says, right. You know what the funny thing is? I don't have a real Book of Mormon anymore, I think.
You had it the other night.
Like a real one?
Yeah.
Where?
It was one that you...
Oh, I do. I got like the oldie one, right?
Right.
All right. Brothers and sisters, I need to pause the podcast right now. You won't notice the pause, except that I'm telling you, I'm going to pause the podcast.
We're going to have an awkward transfer.
It's going to be a transfer because I'm going to go into my room and I'm going to get the Book of Mormon that I forgot that I have in my bedroom. So just a sec. I'll be right back. I could put the mic down, but then there would be a really awkward, like Eric would have to like entertain you with like song and dance. And I don't think he wants to do that.
That's a disaster.
That would be a disaster. All right. So I'm going to pause and I'll be right back. All right. I'm back. So I went into my bedroom, and yes, I do. I don't have the quad or the Bible or anything. I'll have to pick one of those up at Desert Industries here in Phoenix sometime. What I have is, I bought this in Nauvoo. I went to Nauvoo when I was living in Illinois. And the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints had copies of like what the Book of Mormon looked like in Joseph Smith's time. So this is actually like a copy of the 1830 version of the Book of Mormon, which is kind of cool.
So it's one step away from Reformed Egyptian.
So let's go talk about Wormwood, because you said you looked that shit up.
So, yeah, Wormwood appears in Revelations as the name of a star or angel. It's only got that one mention, but it's also...
And it crashed and, destroyed all the waters of the earth.
Right. It was right? one of the
It poisoned all the waters of the earth.
Right. It was one of the plagues or something that was coming along during Revelation that signified the end of time. And
all right. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it poisoned everything on earth.
It poisoned everything. Wormwood, and I'm drinking it right now. Which is probably why I feel a little funny. All right, we're going to read. I'm going to read to you. I'm going to read to you a little bit from the 1830 version of the Book of Mormon. So this is like a Book of Mormon. If you happen to live in the time of Joseph Smith, this would be the copy of the Book of Mormon that you got. Not the copy that like modern day Mormon missionaries would give you, but the copy that like Joseph Smith Mormon missionaries would give you. So let's read the preface here. To the reader, as many false reports have been circulated respecting the following work, and also many unlawful measures taken by evil designing persons to destroy me, and also the work, so destroy me, I think that's Joseph Smith.
Yes.
And also the work, which means like the Book of Mormon, I would inform you that I translated by the gift and power of God and caused to be written 116 pages, the which I took from the Book of Lehi, which was an account abridged from the plates of Lehi by the hand of Mormon, which said account some person or persons have stolen and kept from me, notwithstanding my utmost exertions to recover it again, and being commanded of the Lord that I should not translate the same over again, for Satan had put it into their hearts to tempt the Lord of their God by altering the words that they had did read contrary to that which I translated and caused to be written. And if I should bring forth the same words again, or in order, in other words, if I should translate the same over again, they would publish that which they had stolen, and Satan would stir up their hearts of this generation, and that they might not receive this work. And behold, the Lord said unto me, I will not suffer that Satan shall accomplish his evil design in this thing. Therefore, thou shalt translate from the plates of Nephi until ye come to that which ye have translated, which ye have retained. I know what they're talking about. I'm going to finish this just a sec. And behold, ye shall publish it as the record of Nephi. And thus I shall confound those who have altered my words. I shall not suffer that they shall destroy my work, yea, and I show unto them my wisdom is greater than the cunning of the devil. Wherefore, to be obedient unto the commandments of God, I have through his grace and mercy accomplished that which he hath commanded me respecting this thing. But also inform you that the plates at which have been spoken were found in the township of Manchester, Ontario County, New York. The author. All right, I know what they're talking about here. So, during the process of translation, Joseph Smith worked with a guy named Martin Harris. And Martin Harris, he had like money, and so he kind of like supported Joseph Smith when he was like translating with
so he was
apostrophe.
Joseph Smith's sugar daddy.
He was Joseph Smith's sugar daddy during the translation process, and was pretty excited about like all this shit, and was willing to give Joseph Smith like a lot of money to live off of while he was like translating the Book of Mormon. But like any good businessman, he wanted like a a show of return of investment, like before his investment came due. And so he convinced, like, they, like, so the first 116 pages of the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith translated from the book of supposedly from a book called the Book of Lehi. And Martin Harris was like, hey, dude, why don't you give me those before you're all done? Let me take these transcripts and I'm going to show people, because I want to prove to people that like you're like a legit prophet. And Joseph Smith was like, well, let me ask God. And God was like, I think three times, like, Joseph Smith asked God, and God was like, no, dude, don't do that. And the second time, no, dude, I don't want you to do that. And then the third time, it was like, God was like, all right, dude, whatever, it's your funeral, go ahead and go for it. So Joseph Smith gave Martin Harris the pages that he translated, the first 116 pages of the Book of Mormon that he translated, gave them to Martin Harris. And Martin Harris went and showed people, like, oh, look what we're working on, right? Any good artist knows that you do not show your work to anybody until it is completed.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
And Joseph Smith broke that cardinal rule and gave these pages to Martin Harris to go show people. And so Martin Harris lost them, is what happened. Like, when he was done showing, he couldn't find them. And Joseph Smith was pissed, and God was pissed. They're like, oh, you motherfucker, you fucking lost it. And God was like, yeah, fuck you, I told you not to do it, motherfucker. Now people have it, and what they're going to do is like, they're against you, Joseph Smith, and they're going to take the pages that you've translated, and they're going to mess around, they're going to like mess around with the words. And therefore, like, if you retranslate them, they're going to be totally different from what you already have. And so what I want you to do is to not retranslate what the 116 pages. We'll just start from where we're at now. Like, way back when, I knew this was going to happen. This is God speaking to Joseph Smith. I knew this was going to happen. Therefore, what I did is, like, the first 116 pages were supposed to, are throwaway pages. And everything that was already in those, I've already put in these other books in the gold plates. So you don't have to retranslate that shit. Just start from where you're at on the book of First Nephi, and it's all cool. And therefore, the 116 are throwaway. Don't worry about it.
Convenient.
And so, convenient. So Joseph Smith never retranslated those lost 116 pages. And they're called the lost manuscripts or some shit like that. That's what that was talking about.
And can we visit Martin Harris's, like, business acumen? Because it doesn't seem like a good idea to invest in religious prophets.
I disagree. Like, religious, like, you're tax exempt. Like, to start a new religion is like a racket. That's a good racket because you're tax exempt. You're going to collect like a tenth of everybody's earnings, right? Through if you're charismatic enough as a religious leader, it's a good investment. Yeah, Martin Harris, it's a good investment. You don't agree?
No.
Why?
I'm trying to think of anybody that's become rich as an investor investing in religion rather than being the prophet himself. Now, I agree, being the prophet yourself and starting the church, you can make some money. But...
Well, Martin Harris got like later on, he got like really pissed off with the Mormon church and he fucking left it.
Well,
like, he was really pissed. Like, he left the church for whatever reason. I would have to look all that up. But he was not a Mormon when he died. He never disavowed on his deathbed or anything like that, that it was a scam or anything like that. Like, he like supported that, like, yeah, Joseph Smith, like, blah, 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 and it had blah, blah, blah.
He had those seer stones in his hat.
He had those seer stones, and there were plates, and golden plates, and I saw angels, and all that shit I agree with. Just, like, everything else was fucked up. So, fuck that religion. I don't want anything to do with it. But the things that happen actually happen. That was like on his, supposedly like on Martin Harris's deathbed. It was like, he never disavowed his experiences, but he was never really, he never reconciled himself back into the Mormon faith.
Interesting. Yeah. Maybe he wanted to fuck goats.
You're not supposed to fuck goats, Eric. We learned about that.
Right.
I promised the listeners that we'd get away from goat fucking because I've had some comments about, like, there's too much goat fucking in your podcast, dude.
Okay, we'll leave that one alone.
You're always talking about goat fucking, Elder Wrong. Well, what's the deal with goat fucking? And I'm all like, well, it's bad.
It's like the central tenet of Christianity.
You should not fuck goats, period. That's just bad. If you're fucking goats, you're a fucked up motherfucker.
Could this be Martin Harris's problem with Mormons? Is that
you think he liked to fuck goats?
Yes, I do. I'm going to throw that out there right now that Martin Harris was a goat fucker.
That's a real interesting theory right there, Eric. I'm gonna have to ponder that for a good long while,
right?
Because like, it kind of upsets my whole upbringing now of Mormonism that Martin Harris was a goat fucker, and he was pissed off because Joseph Smith was not for goat fucking.
It's like a possibility.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. We're going to pause for a second because I need a break. I need to pour myself some more absinthe. Eric, probably. Do you need a cigarette?
Probably.
All right. Eric's going to go smoke. So we'll be right back in a blink of an eye. All right, Eric. You ready?
I am.
All right. We're back from Eric's smoke break. You had some things to say about Martin Harris?
He's definitely a weirdo.
Why?
Hung out in the woods with a deer who he thought was Jesus Christ.
What? Read that shit, dude. That's, you're educating the Mormon, the drunk Mormon missionary now, dude.
Okay, I'm just pulling it up right now. Might take me a moment to find it in this article.
All right. Well, we don't want too much like empty space here.
I know.
Come on, man. So he hung out with a deer that he thought was. Did he fuck the deer?
There's no record of him having sex with the deer, but an acquaintance said that Harris claimed to have seen Jesus in the shape of a deer, and walked and talked with him for 2 or 3 miles.
What? So he walked with the deer for 2 or 3 miles, who he thought was Jesus.
Right, and talked to him.
And talked to him.
Right.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Like evidently, the deer talked back.
And that wouldn't be a deer you want to fuck if you thought it was Jesus. And then he had sex with the deer. And then Joseph Smith said, no. Deers are off like limits too. They're like goats, dude. Right. You can't fuck deer.
And then he got pissed off.
And Martin Harris got pissed off and said, I'm leaving this fucking religion. Fuck you. You can't tell me what things I can and can't fuck.
Right.
That's your theory.
That's my theory.
All right. All right. Well, let's get back to the story here. Enough about Martin Harris. It's all interesting. We're postulating some very interesting theories tonight about why Martin Harris probably left the church, about goat fucking or deer fucking or anything like that. All right, so after Joseph Smith translated, we should get into the testimony of the witnesses. So there are two groups. There's the testimony of the three witnesses.
Right.
And the testimony of the eight witnesses. And the three witnesses were Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris. These things are kind of the same, but I'll go ahead and read it. So here's the three. Be it known unto all nations, kindreds, and tongues, and people unto whom this work shall come, that the work being the Book of Mormon, that we, through the grace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, have seen the plates that contain this record, which is a record of the people of Nephi, and also of the Lamanites, their brethren, and also the people of Jared, who came from the tower which had been spoken. Tower of Babel.
Right.
Language shit. And we also know that they have been translated by the gift and the power of the God. For his voice hath declared unto us, wherefore we know of a surety that the work is true. And we also testify that we have seen the engravings upon the plates, and they have been shown unto us by the power of God, and not of man. And we declare with words of soberness that an angel of God came down from heaven and brought and laid before our eyes, that we beheld and saw the plates and the engravings thereon. And we know those by the grace of God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, that we had and bear record these things are true, and it is marvelous to our eyes. Nevertheless, the voice of the Lord commanded us that we should bear record of it. Wherefore, to be obedient unto the commandments of God, we bear testimony of these things. And we know that if we are faithful in Christ, we shall rid our garments of the blood of all men and be found spotless before the judgment seat of Christ, and shall dwell with him eternity in the heavens, and the honor to which to and the honor to be to the Father and to the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is one God. Amen.
Amen.
Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris. So these three guys went into the woods with Joseph Smith one day, and an angel appeared unto them. So they got to see an angel. I can't remember what angel it was. It might have been Moroni with his angel balls.
Maybe.
Or maybe some other angel with angel balls appeared unto them in the woods and showed them the gold plates, and they got to touch them and feel them and see all the reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics on it. And so they wrote this testimony, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay. So that's the testimony of three.
I find their testimony to be highly influential.
All right. Unpack that, Eric, please.
What?
Unpack that. Why is there, what is it?
I was joking.
Why are you questioning that? You go ahead. You be the skeptic here. I'm absolutely a believer right now. No, I'm not. but why are you skeptical, Eric?
I actually don't really know much about the other two, but some dude walking around talking to a deer in the woods with perhaps unseemly desires for the deer, I find impossible to believe his testimony.
Because he wants to fuck deer?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of do too. Like, okay, so like within Mormonisms, they kind of use this as a proof of like, see, we have three people who claim the same thing. Therefore, if this was like a court of the government and you had three people bearing the same testimony and three people witnessing, it is beyond question that this actually happened. Which is all kind of bullshitty, because like you can have three people who like come up with the same bullshit story and go like, hey dude, I agreed to this bullshit story. How about you? Yeah, I agree to the bullshit story. What about you? Yeah. Let's all three tell the same bullshit story of angels and gold plates, and we'll just put our name on it.
Right.
Right? Doesn't really prove anything. Nonetheless, it's in the Book of Mormon. Like, if you get, it's not in this one. The 1830 version doesn't have the testimony. It just has the Joseph Smith going like, "Huh." The preface with the 116 pages and Joseph Smith going, "Huh, you fuckers trying to fuck me over? Huh, God's got one on you. I'm not going to retranslate that shit. I'm starting from something else. Fuck you."
Right.
"I'm not going to redo it, so you can't fuck me over." But the current Book of Mormon that you get from the Mormon Church has, in the beginning, the testimony of the three. Right. And then there's the testimony of the eight, too, which is basically, okay, it's Christian Whitmer, Jacob Whitmer, Peter Whitmer Jr., John Whitmer, Hiram Page, Joseph Smith Sr. That's cool. He added his dad to that one. He let his dad. Remember in the first.
So like, a bunch of Whitmers and his like pops.
Yeah. And then Hiram Smith and Samuel H. Smith. So they're all Whitmers, except for one page, and they're all Smiths, part of Joe Smith's. But it's kind of nice. He like added his dad.
Right.
Right. Remember the first and second podcast we talked, First Vision and the second one with the Moroni balls. And his dad's all like, yeah, dude, I totally believe you, man.
Right.
Yeah, you should do what God tells you to do. That it's a fucking awesome dad. It's a right. really supportive dad. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can be whatever you want, son. You want to be a prophet? You can be a prophet. I fucking love you. You be whatever you want. You want to be an astronaut? You want to be a prophet? You want to be president of the United States? I'm down. I'm your dad. You could be whatever you want to be.
And even joined his son's religion.
And joined his son's religion. So he got to be one of the eight witnesses, testimony of the eight. And it goes, be it known unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people unto whom this work shall come, that Joseph Smith Jr., the translator of this work, the Book of Word, excuse me, absent the burps right there, has shown unto us the plates of which have been spoken, which have the appearance of gold, and as many of the leaves as the said Smith has translated, we did handle with our hands, and we also saw the engravings thereon, all of which has the appearance of ancient work and of curious workmanship, and this we bear record with words of soberness that the said Smith has shown unto us, for we have seen and hefted and know of a surety that the said Smith has got the plates of which he had spoken, and we give our names unto the world to witness unto the world which we have seen, and we lie not, God bearing witness of it. So basically, they got to see the fucking gold plates, and they got right. to touch them, and they got to go like, Joseph Smith got to show them the gold plates, and then they wrote their names like, oh yeah, we got to see them. Are you convinced?
No.
Why?
I have no specific reason for not to.
Maybe because they're all come from Whitner's and the Smiths.
Right.
Right. Anyway.
We're all eating mushrooms or something together.
I don't know. Whatever. It could be true. It could be not true. It could be something else. You know. Who knows? I don't know. I wasn't there, Eric.
I wasn't there
either. I wasn't there. I'm just a drunk asshole speaking out of my ass right now, trying to explain shit that I don't fully understand anymore.
Right.
That's all. That's all. And that's what this podcast is about. And what you think is, if it's anything more than some couple, like one drunk asshole and his roommate speaking
about shit that we don't know anything about,
then you've come to the wrong place. But that's all I got to say about that. All right. Well, I think we've come to the end of episode 11, translation of the Book of Mormon. We covered a lot of good material.
Right. Seer stones in the hats.
Seer stones in the hats. Goggles, Martin Harris. Maybe fucking goats. I don't know.
Or deer,
apparently, right. according to your shit. So,
do you think Jesus was happy about being a deer and having Martin Harris
fuck him in the deer ass?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it was Jesus who was tempting Martin Harris as a deer.
Right.
And Martin Harris was like, deer.
That's a sexy deer.
That's not a goat.
No.
I wasn't there. I don't know. <That's>, I wasn't there. That's all I got to say. I wasn't there. I'm here. Not there.
But if I find three witnesses to Martin Harris's affair with a deer?
Well, it would make a lot of sense why he left the church at that point.
Right.
Joseph Smith's preaching all about that this shit's bad.
So if you remember from a previous podcast where Joseph Smith was throwing people around while he was translating, maybe this is like why he was throwing Martin Harris around.
So one of our listeners, Melissa, if you're listening to this, on Facebook, she has her theory, and that's like, you got to beware goat herpes. Definitely.
A good theory.
That's probably why God is against goat fucking, is goat herpes.
Right.
Except, like, I don't know. I'm really kind of against this whole idea of, like, stigmatizing herpes. They're cold sores. Maybe we can call them goat chlamydia, because that's bad.
Right. You never know. Goat herpes may be a lot worse than human like herpes.
Like cold sores?
Right.
Maybe it, like, turns your dick into, like, a black stub?
Yes.
Yeah. That's possible, too.
I think she has an excellent point there.
Goat herpes.
Yes.
Anyway, Melissa, thank you for that comment. We love you on the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast.
Yes.
She likes absinthe too, apparently.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes. She's the only one who's like, fuck yeah, absinthe. So
I don't like absinthe.
No, you don't. You don't like, you don't have black licorice.
No.
Okay, well, let's end this podcast with I don't care. Let's just fucking end it because it's over. We're done.
Right. This we is got through that part.
This is the end. And we'll pick this up again as soon as I end this podcast. And we'll pick it up again. We'll start into the Book of Mormon stories. We're all done with Joseph Smith for a while. All
right.
Now we get back. Now we're just going to get into Book of Mormon stories.
I'm more interested in Martin Harris anyway.
You have a weird fetish, Eric.
Well, I don't know if it's a fetish, but he's definitely not bland.
You're listening to the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast. I am your host, Elder Wrong, and this is my co-host, Investigator Eric over here.
Doing some more research about Martin Harris.
He's going to do some more research about Martin Harris for y'all. Hey, if you like this podcast, please support it. We appreciate your support. Like us on Facebook. You can look me up on Facebook as the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast. Just type that in. You can always friend me on Facebook. Say hi to me. Tell me what you're like. Just don't friend me. Like, well, it's okay if you just friend me, but like, say hi to me. Like, too. Like, tell me who you are and what you're about and stuff like that. Because I'd love to hear from you. No one does email anymore, so I'm not gonna. I'll give you my email address.
Oh, how 1990s.
But no one does. Who does email? But you can email me if you're like one of those 1990 like retro hipsters. Like, you would have to be a hipster to do email anymore, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's the coming thing for hipsters is email.
Email is going to be the new hipster thing to do. It's elderwrong@gmail.com.
If you've got an AOL account still, send us an email.
If you have an AOL, send me an email to my Gmail account.
All the hipsters are going to have AOL accounts.
Oh, dude, that's a thing.
Right.
Let's make that a thing. I'm going to get an elderwrong@AOL.com.
Yeah, we need it.
We need it. Definitely subscribe to this podcast, whether if it's on iTunes or Podbean or Stitcher or whatever. That way you get updated when we do these stupid pieces of shit that we do. Either way, we love you. Atheist Jesus loves you and says hi. I lost Atheist Jesus. I have to find him again.
Ran away.
He ran away. Can't fucking find Atheist Jesus anywhere in my room right now.
Yeah.
I tried to bring him out for
Fish
Friday.
Running around in the woods as a deer.
I don't know where he went. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, may Bob bless you. And stay tuned for Book of Mormon Stories by the Drunk Elder Mission. The Drunk Mormon Missionary.
Right.
Elder Room coming up soon. All right. Peace out, yo. Bye.